Does your heart yearn to be able to truly love? Yet, you just don't know how to. Well, God has given you the best how to love manual ever, His Word. So if you want to know how to love, you must listen to Devotion 8 of the Bible study, God Loves You and Me, and I will tell you specifically how to love God's way. Devotion title or theme, God's love empowers us to love. I'm going to develop this theme by defining 15 characteristics of love found in 1 Corinthians 13. Yes, the love chapter. Verses 4 through 7. Oh Lord, please give us the power, the desire, the know-how, how to love with your kind of love, agape love, Lord. Amen. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a few moments. God's love lives within us through His Spirit. Since God's love lives within us, we can choose to love God or not. We can choose to love ourselves and others. We choose to love by allowing the Holy Spirit to control us so He can empower us to love. So you must let the Holy Spirit control you. The Holy Spirit also uses God's Word to teach, to guide us, to do God's will, and to show us how to love. So for this devotion, I'm going to use God's Word, a passage in it that defines how to love God's way. Like I told you, it's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Let's read that passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. The New American Standard Bible. You need to be aware these 15 qualities of love are attitudes. I think you know attitudes lead to actions because whatever is in your mind becomes your words and deeds. So, if you love God's way in your mind, and that's what I'm hoping these 15 qualities of love will do, is renew your minds so that your words and actions will reflect that kind of love. What I'm going to do for the rest of this devotion is teach each characteristic of love. First, by defining it from several Greek resources, and then applying it. And I just want to tell you, I'm pretty honest on my struggles on loving with these applications. But I want to tell you, you need to be honest with yourself and with God about whether you're doing these qualities of love or not. Honesty is the key. We need to be honest with ourselves. If we just say we're loving and not willing to look in, we're probably not loving. I think you know what I mean. I'm just blabbing on here. Something else I'm going to do is talk about Jesus Christ, because he has these qualities of love. His life lived out these characteristics, and I'm going to share them with you. And you need to remember, God never asks us to do anything he hasn't done through Jesus Christ. So that should encourage you to know you can love this way through Jesus Christ. First one, love is patient. Patient means to suffer long as opposed to hasty anger or punishment towards the person. To endure with the person in understanding. In other words, not giving up on him. Jesus is patient. Just think of Jesus with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. Application, don't you want people to endure with you? No matter how nutsy or frustrating or however you get. I know I do. Second one is kind. But I think kind and patient go together. Well, in reality, all 15 of them go together. But what does kind mean? Willing to help. Has the idea to do good to someone even if they don't deserve it. It's the opposite of hurting, hindering, or endangering. Of course, Jesus is kind. He is good to us when we don't deserve it. Amen. You know, this is a little application time. I have taught this passage several times, probably more than that. And this one gal gave me this great illustration, and I can't improve on it, so here it goes. She said to all of us, "Whoa, I am convicted after hearing just two of these qualities of love, being patient and kind. I have this hard to handle sister, and wow, she is hard to handle. And I had decided to start avoiding her as much as I possibly could. And when she would call me, I would look on the caller ID and say, it's my sister. I'm not going to answer it," and so on. "But now I realize I need to love her as God would love her and not give up on her and even be kind to her." Can you relate? I think we all can, maybe on both sides. We need someone to be patient, kind to us, and we need to be patient and kind to someone that is hard to be patient and kind to. That's love. Third one, love is not jealous. Now, this jealous could be in a good or bad sense in the Greek, but of course it's in the bad sense because we're not to do it. So what does it mean in a bad sense? It means excessive concern over one's self and what one thinks should be hers. Envy. It can involve resentment of good fortune, of ministry, of gifts, of money, and so on, of another. It has the idea of possessiveness, demanding more than what is rightfully due. Also, tearing down others for your own benefit. James 4 talks about all of this. Application. Jealousy, I think we would all agree, is that green-eyed monster that we all can battle with. The key to not being jealous is to battle with it. When you see it in your life, you need to kill it. Don't let it live on in your heart or mind, because it will come out and be very destructive to your life and to others, and I have seen it. Fourth one, love does not brag. Brag. To boast about your accomplishments, you build yourself up at the expense of others. Application. I don't boast much about my accomplishments to others. That's just, I don't struggle with that. We all do a little bit. But in my mind, to myself, I can be saying things like, my teaching is better than his. I need to stop that unloving thought in my mind, or it sooner or later could come out in words and deeds, especially if I keep thinking on it. Can you relate? Fifth one, love is not arrogant. Arrogant means prideful, thinking yourself superior. You tend not to see your own weaknesses or sins, which is not a good situation because it affects that relationship with God, and also doesn't make you a very loving person because you think you're doing everything right, and probably you're not doing everything right when it comes to loving. And so you're just not, remember, looking within, checking yourself. The difference between a bragger and an arrogant person is a bragger compares himself to others, thinking they are great. An arrogant person is into themselves. They think they are grand. They obsess on self. Jesus Christ isn't arrogant, is he? He wasn't a bragger, but became our servant to the extent of giving his life for us. He was humble for us. He let go of his rights as God and his self-interests as God, not his deity, and became a man and died for us. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 explains this truth beautifully. Apply to life. I can have I am useless, worthless attitude. Or I do everything wrong attitude. So you'd think, of course, I don't think of myself as superior. But what happens is these self-defeating attitudes can lead me to keep looking at myself. Thinking a poor little old, emphasis on old me. Forgetting about God and others. Can you relate? What we need to do is get our thoughts off of ourselves and onto God and what he wants and what others need. Then we will be loving. Number 6, love does not act unbecomingly. Unbecomingly means to behave in an ugly, indecent, unbecoming manner, to be rude. Jesus never acts rude, even when someone is rude to him. Read Isaiah 53. Whoa! People certainly were unbecoming to him. Application. When we are dealing with others, if we want to love them, we need to consider their thoughts, their ideas. We also need to be thinking of their needs, maybe even their wants, and of course, their feelings. Also, we need to think of their culture. I think you know in some cultures, after you eat, you need to burp if you want to be loving. But in other cultures, if after you eat or any time, if you burp out loud, you are dropped from social circles. So culture is very important when we're trying to be loving. Seventh, love does not seek its own. This means doesn't insist on its own way, will give up what is due to them, to others. Jesus didn't seek his own way. Romans 15:2-3 says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, his edification, for even Christ did not please himself. Application. As a parent, we have every right to get our own way. Because we're bigger, we're the breadwinner, and they're the kid, and we're the parent. But God says to be loving to our kids, and I you know that. We shouldn't seek our own way just to seek our own way with our kids, though. You might be thinking, what does she mean by that? Well, I'm going to tell you, as time allows. As parents, we can let our kids have their desires if what they want is okay. Now, of course, you need to think of their age, the family, others, and your budget. You know, I believe if you have this attitude of not seeking your own benefit first, you won't exasperate your kids by coming down too hard on them, as Ephesians 6:4 says. Also look at Philippians 2:3-4, convicting. Love is not provoked. Number 8, this word in the Greek means easily irritated, easily provoked. God certainly isn't easily provoked, or we would be sunk, wouldn't we? Because we can make about anyone easily provoked. And God has every right to be easily provoked with us, but he isn't. Application. I don't get easily irritated. Where people can see it. But at times on the inside, I can get irritated. Where God sees it. You might not, but God sees it. And remember, we need to be loving God with these qualities of love too. A loving person will be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, because she knows the anger of woman does not achieve the righteousness of God. Sounds familiar? Yes, James 1:19-20. Ninth, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Now, this Greek word has the image of keeping records of wrongs with a view to paying back the injury. I can just envision this. You know, us women are into journaling, at least a lot of us are. And so don't use your journal to write down, to keep a log, a record of wrongs people have done against you, to pay them back. Jesus Christ, as you know, didn't take into account our wrongs, which is good to think about when you want to write down someone else's to get them back. He forgives us. Application. As you know, some things are just hard to forgive, if not impossible, as humans. Such as your best friend stabbing you in the back. Such as your father who always beat you for no reason just because he was drunk. How about the man who raped you? And I could go on and on. We live in a hard world. But thank God, God does not expect you to forgive people in your own power. But what he expects you to do is not keep a record, even a mental one, of the wrongs against you. Because if you do, they just keep going in your mind, going in your mind. It's impossible to forgive. But if you will stop that mental record keeping of your wrongs, give each wrong to God, even if you have to do it moment by moment, because that wrong was so hard on you. And God will give you the power to forgive. It's a process, but he'll give you the power to keep on forgiving that wrong, we could say. Never forget, he will bring justice to you. Romans 12, 17 through 21. 10. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is that which is wrong from God's perspective. Jesus doesn't rejoice over sin or evil, does he? But he died because of it. He hates it because it affects our relationship with him. Application, and there's two of them. How about it when someone who has been mean to you has something bad happen to them? Do you rejoice? You know, I used to, because gosh, they've been mean to me. Why wouldn't I rejoice? But then I read Proverbs 17:5. Whoa. It says, he who rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished. I thought, better stop that. Also, you'd agree it isn't very loving. Second one, a little bit different angle. What do you do when you see or hear someone is in sin? Do you encourage that sin by joining in, laughing about it, gossiping about it, or doing nothing about it? I believe this quality of love is telling us not to allow sin to keep going because it is destructive to the doer. And a lot of times to the people around. Galatians 6:1 tells us what to do to restore someone who has sinned. This is from the Message Bible. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore her, saving your critical comments for yourself, because you might be needing forgiveness before the day's out too. There again, look within, ladies, look within. What is that? Get the log out of your own eye before you can get the speck out of your neighbor's. I think you know what I mean. Ten and 11 go together, so I'm going to read them together. They kind of contrast each other. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, like I just said, but rejoices with truth. This word in the Greek means truth in practice. Of course, God's truth in practice. And God's word is God's truth. Remember John 14:6, Jesus lives out God's truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Well, how do we live out God's truth? Well, I could do a whole audio on that one. So let's keep it basic. Are you truthful? Are you honest with yourself and others? Do you say, I love you, but your actions say, I don't? This is certainly not truthful or loving, but hypocritical. Well, what you need to do to not be hypocritical is you need the Holy Spirit. There again, you need to be looking within. And hopefully you really want to love that person. So ask the Holy Spirit, am I really loving that person? And He will show you through God's Word whether you are or not. And of course, if you're not, change. He'll help you change. And you'll know how because of this devotion. 12. Love bears all things. Bear in the Greek here means to cover over in silence, to bear with. God certainly covers our sins and bears all things with us, doesn't He? Psalm 103 and all throughout God's Word. Application. I had two aunts. One who wouldn't bear a thing with me but criticized me all the time. Where my other aunt did bear all things with me. If I broke something, she'd probably say we can replace it. If I said something that wasn't right, she would question me and encourage me to think about it in a different way. If I out and out said or did a wrong, she would correct me, but always in love, never with attitude. I have had it with you. A loving person does 1 Peter 4:8, which says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. It bears all things with others. 13. Love believes all things, which means trust. Now, this doesn't mean to be loving, we need to be naive or gullible. That's just crazy. I mean, when someone does something that makes you not trust them, of course you're not going to trust them. So what does this mean? It means, listen to this. This is so important, I think. You need to believe the best about a person until you know for sure the person did something that wasn't so good. You know, if we could just do this as Christians, is just think the best of people. And if we hear a rumor, even if it comes from, you know, that lady that always seems truthful, don't believe the rumor. Go to the person. Find out for sure. Because this quality is telling us to believe the best about them. And then if they had done something wrong, give them a break. Believe that God can change that person. Give them grace. Forgive them. And be right there loving them even more so. 14. Love hopes all things. Hope means to hope, to expect good. And brother, we can only hope the best for people because of God and Him working all things for the good. Last but not least, 15. Love endures all things. Endure here means to persevere with people in all circumstances. Remember, the first quality of love was being patient. The idea of enduring too. I think this is neat. God starts us with the idea to be loving, we need to endure with the person. And He ends us with about the same idea, to endure. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because if we're not willing to endure with a person, we won't be able to show them the other qualities of love. I want to thank all of you for listening to my 9 devotions, starting with Devotion 0. I want to say I love you all, but God loves you so, 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 so much more. And I hope I have convinced you of that. Oh, Lord, please let us know and feel your love for us from our tippy toes up to our head, whether it's frizzy or not, and deep down in our hearts and minds and souls. Let us know you love us, and in turn, let us love you, each other, and ourselves. To you be the glory, Lord. Amen.